Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, let's get it going here.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to get start, ask any questions, 323-870-3857. And let's get started with it. The big one yesterday, my mind, could have been the fight of the year, right? Could have been the fight of the year, right? I was looking forward to this for months now. Well, for 11 days. Charles Martin versus Jared Big Baby Anderson. Let me tell you, Beeb, I don't know if you know this. I know you know a lot about boxing and everything like that. Do you know where Big Baby Anderson is from?
I think he's from Ohio, isn't he?
Right here in Titletown. That's right. Ohio's own. Toledo's own. Titletown, baby. Jared Anderson. And let me tell you what, that was a masterful performance last night. Did you watch it, Beeb? Did you even – I was mesmerized. I was mesmerized about how great he is. He's like the next Ali. Like the next Ali. He easily – let me tell you what. I know for a fact now. After watching him last night, he knocked out Tyson Fury in sparring. Absolutely. That was the rumor, and you know what? I believe it. 100%. Knocked him out in sparring. No question.
Did it on the video game, sure.
No, I'm talking about in sparring, baby. That's why he had to delay that fight against Wilder. We all know the story. Jared Anderson wins by unanimous decision. This fight wasn't even close, man. 98, 91, 99, 90 on both cards. I had the fight scored 99 to 90 also. Beep, how did you have it scored?
I gave Martin two rounds.
That was terrible. All right, I had it. I mean, you were just being generous, or what were you doing? Because I could really only find one round to give Martin. What round did you give Martin?
Five and six.
You gave him the sixth?
I did.
Oh, that's terrible. Boy, Beeb was feeling generous. Feeling very generous in there, Beeb. I like it, though. I like it. Let me tell you what. Jared Anderson started fast here, man. He knocked Martin down to the third round. He was able to dictate the action. I thought his pressure was really telling the tale at the beginning of the fight. Put a ton of pressure on Martin, and he didn't like it. And Martin, again, man, Martin took the fight on 11 days' notice. This was supposed to be somebody else. And for a former champion to take that fight and get in there with him with his experience and everything, I thought he did a pretty good job. He was able to cause some anxious moments for Anderson, though. In the fifth round, he wobbled Anderson and had him hurt. Could not put him away, though, but that was a big round. I tell you what, that was a big, big round for Martin. Maybe you could have argued a 10-8, but I didn't give him a 10-8. But, I mean, maybe you could have argued it. I don't think anybody really gave it to him, but he was hurt. He was hurt. Anderson showed a good chin, though. He showed good ability to hang on, compose himself. In the 12th round, right around maybe 20 seconds left, there were some more anxious moments as Martin landed some good shots toward the end of the round. Had Anderson in trouble, but Anderson was able to get out of the round and win the decision. When those two things were not happening, you know, we had it in the fifth round, we had it in the 12th round, Martin was able to land punches, but overall I think Big Baby looked good, man. Those shots that he got hit with were a direct result of him pulling straight back. And when you watch this guy, it's not even that he backs up with the shot, with his legs, but he leaves his feet in place and tries to pull, you know, just pulls his upper body back. He's got to get that dialed in. I don't think there's any question about that. From here on out, he's going to be facing better competition, and Prince Charles Martin is pretty good, you know, so they're going to be facing a lot better competition than Martin, so you got to get your ducks in a row on that one. And, you know, his the people watching this are seeing exactly what we're seeing. They're seeing that pullback. So they know it's a weakness for him. And so everybody's going to be keying on that too. You know, he's a small heavyweight, doesn't seem to lack any real power, though. Was able to put Martin down. And listen, Martin wasn't able to walk through his punches, so he was hurting Martin, controlling him, everything like that. He controlled him fairly well throughout. But my one criticism here of Big Baby is just that pullback. And that's something that, like, when you're first learning the fight, they tell you. They tell you don't pull back, you know. If you're going to retreat, then retreat. But don't, like, stand there and pull back like he's going to miss you. These guys are going to hit you. You know what I mean? They're going to hit him at one point or another. And you can get away with that here and there. You're not going to get away with it all the time. And you're not going to get away with it in the heavyweight division. These guys are too big.
You know, the one bright spot to that is, though, I will say, he does do it occasionally, but it's not something he does all the time.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the times that he did it, he was made to pay for it last night. Because I did see him, you know, use lateral movement yesterday. I did see him kind of step back and you know, move off to the side on occasion for the most part. But there are those moments where it's almost like there's just a lapse. So, like, he gets complacent. There's little moments of complacency,
yes,
sometimes with him. And I'm not going to say it's consistent. I'm not going to say it's habitual. But makes me think that this is very correctable. Like, sometimes you'll just look at a guy and, you know, he's not quick on his feet. So he's never going to be able to do certain things. So this to me is more of a mental thing than a physical thing. Like, what I saw yesterday, he still has the physical gifts. Still very quick on his feet, still has very quick hands, really good at upper body movement. He's very fluid. You know, he's not clunky. He's not herky-jerky. He's not stiff. He's a very fluid, coordinated, very athletic, smooth fighter, right? And he's very instinctive. He's got really good reflexes, good instincts, good defensive reflexes. But I just think, like you said, there's those moments of complacency in there. And, you know, I think those can be fixed. And here's another thing to think about, too. He's 23 years old. A lot of these guys like AJ Wilder, Usyk, Joe Joyce, you know, a lot of these guys are getting up there in age, mm-hmm, right? So you can argue in maybe 2 years, this division is going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
And he has the potential to get a lot better at 23. So I know there was so much hype behind him. I get that. And when there is a lot of hype behind you, and I've been guilty of this yeah, several times, I become overly critical. Now, Berlanga, a different story. I watched Berlanga, and
he was on that knockout streak. We told you this guy is like middle of the road, man. He's not that good.
Like the,
right.
He's not fluid, not smooth. There's just, you could just see it. He's just not a naturally gifted fighter. Now, he's strong, good big puncher, but Big Baby, you can tell, has natural gifts. And, you know, when he's focused and everything's flowing, you can see he's just a real pleasure to watch. And he still is a pleasure to watch. And he still did do a lot of good things last night. But again, because the hype is behind him, he had those two shaky moments.
Yeah.
But he did come back from them. I think he'll get better. I think he can improve. I think there's still upside to him. And I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet.
No, I mean,
I'm not ready to do that yet.
Two anxious moments in there, you know, big deal. Who would I match? Who would me and Joe match up with Jared next? I don't know. I think, you know, you got to put him against a heavyweight.
Jermaine Franklin.
That's a tough one. That's a good one.
This guy,
it's a good one, though.
Not a big, here's the thing, though. He's not a huge puncher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not the quickest guy in the world himself. You know, he's kind of a plodder, right? Got some upper body movement, but I do think that, I think it'd be a very good fight. It'd be a good fight. Ajagba's another one. That's another great fight.
Oh, I think him and Ajagba's a really good fight. I like that one a lot.
Joseph Parker, maybe not next, but the fight.
I like the Joseph Parker fight.
Yeah.
I think he's a better fighter. I think he beats Joseph Parker easy.
And again, not to make excuses, but this was a last minute opponent. And then was a southpaw. I can't remember who the original opponent was, or I can't remember if he was an orthodox fighter, but this was a last minute opponent who was a southpaw brought in. So it does kind of shake things up a little bit. I will also say this was something I was thinking about, and I don't want to make too much of it, but it was a video footage of Big Baby talking to Roy Jones and discussing, you know, the pressure of being a fighter.
Why do they put that on tape? Why do they do that? I was saying the same thing.
Like,
why do they do that, man?
Yeah, you know the cameras are around you. These are like offline conversations you want to have behind closed doors. You don't
not
want people
in front of the camera.
You don't want to show people any sort of weakness, or you know.
Yeah.
So he also said that I don't want to be in this game long. So he's already looking for, you know, already at 23, making a, you know, looking for an exit strategy, making an exit strategy plan. So that kind of troubles me a tad bit. Like I'm sitting there saying, like, is his heart really all the way in it? I don't know for sure, but it makes me question it a little bit.
I don't think it's all that. You know, you always hear people say, well, I'm not going to fight till I'm 40. I'm going to fight, you know, when they're just starting out. I'm not going to be in there, you know. I've got a very specific thing, and I'm out. You know, I got 30 fights, and then I'm out, or I got 10 fights. You know what I mean? You always hear that. I don't think there's anything to that. I just think it should have taken place off screen, not on screen.
Yeah. I mean, when I was 23, I wasn't looking to, you know, cash out my 401k or thinking about, you know, the exit strategy, or like I wasn't thinking about my Social Security payment. Like right now, before I go to bed every night, I'm saying to myself, am I going to wake up tomorrow? I don't even know. I lived more years than I got left.
Yeah, right.
I lived more years than I got left. But when I was 23, I wasn't thinking that. I wasn't thinking these things. I wasn't thinking about recalibrating my my Roth IRA into conservative investments. I wasn't thinking these things. I'm still swinging for the fences with the Roth. I'm still aggressive. I don't give a fuck.
The Roth, you might as well. Might as well. We're right there, man. Yeah, so that's what I think about. I thought Jared Anderson did a good job, man. I thought he looked good. I think everybody was going to, you know, because it was Charles Martin, everybody's going to draw the parallel to the AJ. Listen, there was a big difference in that AJ fight. Charles Martin was pretty young when he had that title. He didn't win, you know, he got the title on a technical decision. The guy hurt his knee or something like that. You remember that?
The guy blew out his knee. That reminded me, right?
Uh-huh.
When I told you, I was in this 3-on-3 hoop it up championship, right? We were in the intermediate class. And you know, we got Paige to go to the court. We were in the final game. And I think we were like a minute late or something. And the fucking team that was waiting for us was like, oh, we're late. We were on disqualification. Bunch of pussies didn't want to play us.
Did you guys get disqualified?
No.
Did you get beat?
I should. No, we won. I showed you the Hoop It Up trophy. I've showed it to you several times. It's going to be a family heirloom. I'm going to hold that in there when my casket, when I get buried. That's a freaking family. One of my greatest accomplishments. Watching that thing in my hands when I'm in the pearly gates.
That's right, man. Let's see here. I think that, you know, I tell you, I think he's still a ways away from a title. I don't think they're going to rush him anytime soon. You know, he's still a ways away from the title. And you got to give him the benefit of the doubt here. What is he, have 14 wins now or something like that? Or
yeah.
Yeah, he's still a ways away, but he's getting better.
Yeah, but like I said, these are quick fixes. 23 years old. Who knows, AJ, Fury, Wilder, Usyk, in 2 years, they could be gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the division looks entirely different. And it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different landscape, so. Who knows?
He'll be coming in on the tail end of all this.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you got to understand. He'll be coming
in. Everyone has one of these types of fights. Look at Andre Ward coming up with the Darnell Boone situation. He had a shaky.
Yeah, look at that one. Darnell Boone.
Down.
Hey, where's Darnell Boone from? You know?
I heard he's from Ohio.
I know he's from Ohio. He's from Titletown, baby.
But and, he moved out of there. Like, doesn't,
I
doesn't
heard he pasted.
Anymore.
I saw that fight, man. I thought he pasted Andre Ward, but, hey, that's just me. I gave
I mean,
him.
He, He only lived there for a couple of years. He moved out.
Hometown, son. Hometown.
Yeah, he never goes back.
He goes back here all the time. All right. On the undercard here, Abdullah Mason versus Alex de Oliveira. Mason, if you didn't know, another Ohio fighter, won by second round knockout. Friend of the show, Tyler McCreary, another Ohio fighter, wins by unanimous decision over Davey Julio, 59-54, 57-56, twice. There you go, man. And that was pretty much the action this week. There was no other fights, unless there was. Was there, Beeb? I didn't see any other fights.
You continuously have to do this week after week. We had a great women's undisputed super middleweight title fight between Franchon Cruz and Savannah Marshall.
Yeah, right.
And I got to give Franchon Cruz credit. I saw one of the most impressive things that I saw yesterday. I've never seen...
She make a cake on the way to the ring?
No. She actually sang the national anthem before the fight.
They didn't have enough money to pay anybody to sing the national anthem?
Well, come on now, please.
I'm just saying, typically they bring somebody in... Because the fighter is usually supposed to be concentrating on the fight, you know what I mean, not singing the national anthem.
No, she did a good job. I was impressed with the national anthem. I'm not crazy about her as a fighter. I just think she lumbers forward, off balance a lot. A lot of arm punching, a lot of flailing. Some people had this fight close. I had it wide. I had it 8-2. I gave her 2 rounds, and the 2 rounds I gave her were actually swing rounds. This could have been a shutout. But one of the judges had it a draw. And again, I don't like Bass's scorecards because a lot of times my scorecards are not in line with everyone else.
Well, wait a second here. Wait. So this was for the undisputed?
Correct.
How long did they fight? They only fought 10 rounds? Surely the rounds are 3 minutes, right?
No, 2 minutes.
2 minutes. 2 minutes. So they fought for 20 minutes, and they crowned an undisputed champion?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. That sounds,
you know,
sounds reasonable. Sounds reasonable.
When I'm watching these women's fights, I'm thinking of you.
Of course you are.
And I'm focusing on the fact more so now than ever that they are 2 minutes, because you've drilled it into my head, and you constantly drill into my head, and you constantly drill it into the audience's head. And I think you've brainwashed me into really disliking – women's boxing more and more, and it's because of you. Because I watch the fights, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, it does irritate me that the rounds are only 2 minutes. It really does, because it's like...
In the Olympics, and I know we've said this before on the show, I went and verified it again today. The Olympics. Women's boxing in the Olympics. 3 3-minute rounds. Name me another sport where you do less in the pros than you do in the amateurs. Pro basketball, no. You play for 40 minutes versus 48 in the NBA. Football, no. You play for 12 versus 15-minute quarters in the NFL. Where is it that you go backwards? I don't understand this. Help me out with that. Where's a sport that you actually go backwards?
If you keep talking, I may never watch another female boxing event again for the rest of my life, because you keep making me hate the sport more.
I can't disagree
with this. How do I argue against it?
It's impossible.
I can't argue against it. I want to.
I know.
She's giving me flashcards. I still can't argue against this.
I know Calix. He came out and he says, well, because it's 2-minute rounds, there's going to be more action. He's wrong. It's not. Clarissa Shields, what does she have, one knockout? She had two. She's got two gold medals, and she's got one knockout here. Stop it.
Yeah.
Listen,
it's hard, man.
And you know what? Here's the deal, man. Here's the other deal is that these guys, their divisions are not as deep either. So you need the 3 minutes. You guys need the 3 minutes to get better. You're not going to get better on 2-minute rounds. Come on. You need the longer fights so that you get better, so that the divisions can get deeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who was it? Who's that one? The one chick who just signed for Brazzers? Ebony Bridges. I don't know. I'm assuming she signed with Brazzers. I don't know. That's what I heard. I saw some chick that kind of looked like her on Brazzers, so I'm just assuming it was her. You know what I mean?
That is so bad, man.
I agree, because it's like I want to know if it's the real girl or not. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Show some respect. There's a lot of women on there that have blonde hair and have they're enhanced in that area. So you can't just stereotype Ebony Bridges like that. That's not called for.
Well, I tell you what, I apologize. I apologize. And yes, I have seen Ann Wolfe. I have a crush on Ann Wolfe. I don't know why. I have a crush on Ann. Ann Wolfe is, my ideal. Yeah, that's it. Ann Wolfe. I have a big crush on Ann Wolfe, like it or not. And Ann Wolfe could probably beat the tar out of me. But like I said, you know, two minutes isn't going to cut it. You know, it doesn't do them any good. It doesn't do us any good. Again, you're going back to, again, I cannot name another sport where you play less as a professional than as an amateur.
That doesn't make sense.
You're supposed to get better as you move up, not worse.
I agree.
And all you got, all these girls, man, to come on there, well, unless I get paid, I'm not going to do the three-minute rounds.
You're doing less and you're expecting to get
more.
Paid
you're
more.
Doing less and you're being expected more. It doesn't work, man. And, you know, it's hard to take it seriously. It really is. Tony Yeo is asking if Michelle Phelps is on Brazzers 2. That I don't know.
Don't go. No, please. We already have enough issues with human resources.
I don't
please.
Know. I just said I don't
call
know.
The office again.
Who is Michelle
every
Phelps?
Monday,
anyway? Who is
every
Michelle
Monday
Phelps?
Morning. Every Monday morning, I get an email. Every Monday morning, I get an email. Mr. B, can you drive down to Human Resources? I don't want to do that.
Can you drive please. Down to Human Resources?
Well, the office is on the street.
Yeah, it's on the street.
It's on the streets. It's in a strip mall. I mean, I got to travel. What do you think? They're going to have a human resource office right here at Beeb Industries?
Yes.
It's on the
yes,
street.
That's how it works.
It's on the street.
Yeah, that's how it happened. I mean, everybody's asking, why was I Brad? I happened to stumble upon it on accident. You know what I mean? I just happened to hit Brazzers on accident. I was, like, surfing through stuff, you know, and it just, you know. Yeah, we should get Brazzers to sponsor this show. That'd be so great. They would just sponsor us in like free membership or something like that. It wouldn't be any money. It would just be like free membership, which I'd gladly go along with. But that's neither here nor there. All right. So, yeah, Savannah Marshall beat Franchon Cruz-Dizern, whatever she wants to be called this week. And then Natasha Jonas was on the undercard. Did you see that fight?
Good fight, yeah.
That was a good fight.
I'm going to say something else.
But
I'm not going to say it was a good fight. It was a good performance from Natasha. But they fought for a vacant IBF title, and Natasha Jonas was on, like, 10 levels above this girl. Again, these fights are, like, how do you have such mismatches for vacant titles? I know boxing does it once in a while, but with the men. But the women, like, they have these vacant titles in mismatched fights. Like, because there's such a lack of opposition.
They don't have
divisions.
Anybody, Beeb. Like, you
I
can
know,
walk just, off of here. We can walk off. We can get a chick off the street. Put a win streak together. Get her a couple of fights. Get her a couple of tomato cans in there. Get her a couple wins. You know what I mean? And she's in line for a title. Title shot. Going to a division that's not real well known, not real well publicized. Guaranteed she's getting a title shot, son. It the way it is. There's no depth there. There's no depth. D-Style pointed this out, and he said, like, if you go to BoxRec and you look at those divisions, like how many people, you know, it'll tell you like what he's ranked out of 3,000 people or 35, whatever. All right, in the women's division, like 10, 15 people. There ain't nobody there.
That's true.
Steve Kim, this is from Larry Liston, said that Anderson is the best American heavyweight since Riddick Bowe. Now ask yourself, would Riddick Bowe go the distance with Charles Martin? I don't know. You guys, I mean, listen, that fight with Anthony Joshua and Charles Martin, they essentially paid for that belt. They had to go all the way to London to defend that belt. You know what I mean? He was not the favorite. It was a bad situation for Martin. And Martin knew it. Well, you could see it in his eyes when at the beginning of that fight. He didn't think he was going to win that fight.
Well, I mean, you know, Mike Tyson knocked out Andrew Golota, I think, in like one or two rounds or something like that.
Yeah.
And look
what Andrew Golota did to Riddick Bowe.
Look what Andrew Golota did to Riddick Bowe. I mean, we can go down the line and make these comparisons all you want. But, you know, I get it. People thought that Anderson was supposed to blow him out of there. I get it. And he didn't do that. So, but
Just remember, says, go ahead.
And I was going to say, just remember that, you know, there's still time to get better. There's more fights out there. He like, look at Teofimo Lopez, how he had that performance against Sandor Martin, and then look what he turned around and did against Josh Taylor. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just a little too early, man. It's a little too early
to count him out like that because he got hit, fight. Haplotype says the guy that Mason fought, but they pulled him out of his taxi for sure. I'm sure Haplotype is a tough guy. I'm sure he could have beat that guy. You know. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's so tough behind the keyboard, aren't they? It's so tough.
Like I said, this is a tough sport, man. It's not easy.
It ain't. Telling you, man.
We try to call it like we see it, but.
All these guys at this level, at the level where Jared Anderson is right now, Charles Martin, they're all good. They are all good. I mean, there's levels and everything like that, but man, are they good.
Yeah.
We have no idea. No idea. All right, coming up next, let's see, next week, July 8th on ESPN+, Luis Mary versus Froland Saludar, 12 rounds, junior featherweights. Also on July 8th on DAZN from San Antonio, Amanatas Stanowice versus Virgil Ortiz Jr., 12 rounds. So Stanowice is a WBA regular welterweight title. You know what I'm going to say. I don't understand why there's a regular heavyweight title, a regular welterweight title. They're fighting for all the belts on the 29th. Why do we have a regular? What are you talking about? What does that even mean?
Preaching to the choir, bro.
We have a regular champion. We have what? We have a champion. And then what? We have a super champion as well? Come on, man. Stop it.
Preaching to the choir.
Joey Diaz on that undercard versus Jerry Perez. And let's see here. Also on July 8th from Atlantic City on Showtime. This is the big one. Jerron Ennis versus Roman Villa. 12 rounds for Ennis' IBF interim. Here we go again. IBF interim title. So I'm anxious to see Boots again. I want to see him. I think that the 29th is the best thing that could have happened to Jerron Ennis. I really do think that's the best thing. Whoever wins that fight, it doesn't matter. They're going to fracture those belts, and they're going to go their own way. That's just it. And as soon as that happens, even if they do a rematch, it ain't going to matter because those belts will be fractured at that point because you don't need the belts at that point to sell that fight.
Once again, listening to Errol Spence talk and Crawford, I think they're going to realize that, you know, we don't need these belts to make money anymore, so why are we giving them sanctioning fees? Like, we're the product, not the belts. So once there's a person that wins these titles, and here's another thing, too. Think about this. I know we're going to get into this later. Possible that those titles at junior middleweight get fractured because of what Jamel's doing. Who's to say these guys don't go up and start, and maybe their rematch could be at junior middleweight for one of the vacant titles? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, those sanctioning fees are no cupcake either, man.
Yeah.
Those are expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and the fighters are supposed to pay for that.
Both fighters have been complaining about, both fighters have talked about sanctioning fees in the past. Both fighters have talked about going up to 154. Both fighters, when asked about what weight is the rematch going to be, they weren't clear on that. So don't be surprised if they do have a rematch, which I'm pretty sure they're going to.
It's in the contract, no?
It's a two-way rematch.
Yeah.
So we'll be surprised if the rematch is at 154. I wouldn't be.
No, I wouldn't either. All right, let's go to the phone. 530, Robert, you're live.
Robert. Hello, guys. How are you?
Do you have your 4th of July barbecue planned already? Are you going to pick up some Franks?
We're going to barbecue hot dogs and hamburgers. We're going to have a good old time around here.
Nice.
Any s'mores? Campfire s'mores? No?
Stop it.
No. If we were camping out, that would be okay. But since we're going to be home, no, we're just going to have a regular barbecue with all the fixings.
And the fire pit?
Oh, yeah. No, we have a grill. We have a barbecue grill.
You have a fire pit in the backyard?
No. Our landlord wouldn't allow that, so no.
Big Baby the next uncrowned champion, Robert? Tell us why.
You know, Eric, I'll say this. Everybody expected Jared Anderson to blow out Charles Martin, and I think the 10 rounds were actually good for him. I'm glad to see him go the full distance. You know, because look at Edward, look at Berlanga. He blew out all those guys in the first round, and he's not a good fighter because of that. I think it's good for these fighters to occasionally get a good 10 rounds under their belt. And that way you can learn more about them that way. If you make fights too easy, you're going to wind up like a Berlanga. And now, in his case,
wow.
You know, the Matchroom's got to be questioning, why did we sign this guy? Look at the performance he just gave. You know, Top Rank doesn't have to question. You know, that, there's a reason why Top Rank has the top matchmakers in the business. All of those fights under the undercard yesterday, except for the first two that were actually shown on ESPN, most of them were pretty competitive. And that's because the people at Top Rank know how to match up their fighters. So, you know, I think this was very good for him yesterday. But I also agree with you guys. Why would you put him and Roy Jones on camera and him tell Roy Jones, well, I'm going to be retired by 27? Hey, come on. You can't really be saying that crap. I mean, that's terrible, because in a couple of years, Jared Anderson could be the heavyweight of the division, because Wilder's eventually going to leave, Fury's eventually going to leave, Usyk's going to leave, Zhang's going to leave, Joyce is going to leave. There are going to be a lot of vacancies in the heavyweight division, and it's going to change in a couple of years. So I did not like that bite. I don't know if it was ESPN's idea or who that was, but that was a terrible thing to put on camera for everybody to see. Because now, 4 years from now, when he's 27, well, you're supposed to retire. You know, you don't put that kind of stuff on camera. That's terrible.
Yeah, not crazy about that.
I think Jared beats Tyson Fury right now. It's me.
Well, we'll see what happens.
He already knocked him out. So.
Yeah, and I like all three of the fights that you guys mentioned for him, Parker, Ajagba, and Franklin. I think those are all three good fights for Big Baby.
Yeah. But the problem is, aren't they all on the other side of the street? Or is Ajagba's not with them anymore, is he?
Ajagba is with Top Rank, I believe. Ajagba's with
Top
Rank.
Yeah, I thought he was too, yeah.
Now, I don't know. I think Franklin is with DiBella, and
damn, he just cut out, son.
No, I'm
here. What happened?
You
back on?
I'm here. I don't know what happened with that.
Did Mrs. Harry grab you or something?
I don't know. I like all three of those fights, so we'll see what they do with him next. And I'm looking forward to the Virgil Ortiz fight. I think that'll be a good fight, too, on Saturday. And Boots, we have a very active Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it. Better than what this past Saturday was, you know. The Anderson card was, you know, the best one to look forward to this week. So anyway,
it was a hyped up card, wasn't it, Robert?
Yeah.
All those fighters from Ohio.
Yeah, well, hey, and they all did.
Get
they
to
all
showcase
did,
the state.
Hey, they all did a good job, Eric. They all did a good job.
Yes,
and,
they all won. That's what
I know
they
you
do.
Guys.
Do,
gonna, I know you. I know you guys are going to get into this later, but wow, I could not believe that Jamel is jumping up two weight classes to take on Canelo. That shocked the hell out of me. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
You excited about that, Robert?
I think that'll be a good fight. I think that'll be a better fight than the original Charlo, since the original Charlo, who everybody thought he was going to fight, hasn't fought in 2 years.
Yeah.
I thought the original, or the one he's fighting now, the 154, is that the one when would he last fight?
About a year ago.
About a year ago when he beat Brian Castaño. in the rematch.
But he's coming off a hand injury.
Right.
Jamal's been off for over 2 years. So
yeah,
it's kind
Jamal's been out of the ring. Jamal's been out of the ring since June 2 years ago. I mean, look, I know we all complain about the sanctioning bodies and all the fees that fighters have to pay, but what about a sanctioning body allowing a champion to be a champion for 2 years and not fighting? I mean,
that's true.
He should
not
be stripped. Note. He should be stripped, you know?
I agree.
You have to defend your titles, you know? I mean, look, in these big fights like the Spence-Crawford fight, they're complaining about sanctioning fees. Well, why don't you put something in the contract where that is automatically covered when you put these big fights together? That way it doesn't come out of the fighter's pocket.
Yeah, the other brother hasn't fought in 2 years. The other one hasn't fought in a year. It's been over a year since that guy fought.
He hasn't fought in a year because he was actually injured. I don't know what the other 20.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's right. He's injured. Yeah, I want to see some X-rays there.
Well,
I want to see some doctor's reports. Wasn't that what he was saying with Tony Harrison?
Remember
when Tony Harrison was injured?
All
he kept doing was crying about his foot.
You know, that's exactly what he said. But you know what? This is going to be good because Tim Tszyu will become the number one 154 guy.
I think he's going to become the champion. I think they're just going to make him the champion. I'll be
exactly,
honest.
Exactly. And he will wind up beating the other people that are left, and he'll be the undisputed champion. And trust me, I think Charlo took this fight with Canelo not only for the money, so he could avoid Tim Tszyu. I don't think he wanted any part of Tim Tszyu.
Dude.
Don't stop.
Dude.
Please.
Think that he took the Canelo fight so he didn't have to fight Tszyu?
Yeah, I do.
You think Canelo would beat Tszyu? Let me ask you a question. You think Canelo would wipe the floor with Tszyu? Me too. I do too.
Yeah.
What do you think that – so he gets a tougher challenge than the one he was going to get? Come on. That's silly.
No, look, Eric, I think you're underestimating – I think you're under – well, he did take it for the money, but I think you're underestimating Tim Tszyu. I think Tim Tszyu is going to be one hell of a fighter.
You think he beats Canelo?
No, not now.
Then you just disproved your own point.
But I do think –
he's not tougher than Canelo, right?
No.
You can't.
There you go.
Robert.
If he's not
Robert.
Canelo, then he couldn't. You know what I'm saying?
Robert, let me help you out here.
Okay.
Don't help him out, Beeb.
When you pass up a fight and take a tougher fight, it's hard to say you avoided the other fight and you went to the tougher fight because you were concerned about fighting the lesser fight.
Listen to him.
Well,
at the very least, Robert, you have to understand your argument is a little bit flawed.
Say it, I'm wrong.
Okay, all right.
Look
at it this
way.
I
want it now.
That's the first time he's ever said he was wrong live.
Look at it this way,
Make
guys.
Make sure this is going to be a video short. This is going up.
Look at it this
video
way,
short,
guys. Look at it this way. He did take it for the money. Now look, when you're offered Canelo money, you've got to take that fight. But how does it look to the rest of the people in his division? Wait a minute, you're going up to fight.
Like he took the money.
Like he really cares how it looks. He's sitting there taking a bath in freaking $1,000 bills.
I'm gonna go
sleep
on my bed of money now. Hold on, let me see what you're about to do. Think about it.
Give me a break, guys.
He cares about that. He really cares about that.
All right, Robert, we're going to get running, man.
All right.
Let's go to New York. 917, you're live.
Eric and Joe, it's Maestro reporting live from a hotel room in Ohio.
How do you like Toledo?
I didn't realize.
Beautiful city.
What?
Tons to do.
I actually left Toledo, Eric. I'm actually in Cleveland right now. I'm going to be flying back to New York tomorrow from here.
Even better.
But even better. I didn't realize everything closed down on Sundays in Ohio, Eric. You didn't tell me this.
Well, you're in the middle of a Bible Belt, son. I mean, you know, we're religious here. We believe in God. You know, Sundays of the Lord's Day for wrestling is all day, too.
Sunday is fun day over there.
Sunday is fun day.
It is. It was dead in Toledo other than inside the Hutchinson Center. And it's almost as dead in downtown Cleveland, but I digress.
Toledo is look, a dead town. Toledo, there's nothing ever going on there, man.
Yeah, I mean, I discovered when I was there that it used to be a manufacturing center for glass, and that their two teams are minor league teams that serve Detroit major league teams. But look, the people there were very nice, and they really did turn out en masse for Jared Anderson. I will say, though, that I'm not that impressed by some of the refereeing there in Ohio, Eric. That's one thing that, all kidding aside, I think Ohio needs to improve on. You know, I was working the corner on one of the undercard fights on ESPN Plus, and, you know, my guy was deducted a point in the most ridiculous way that cost them what would have been a majority draw. But anyways, it is what it is. This is what happens when you're fighting a hometown fighter with a hometown referee. It is what it is. But as for the main event, look.
Wait a minute.
I think that a lot
Hang on.
Yeah, I think.
Can I just jump in here real quick?
Yeah, go
so
for it.
So you're saying that your guy lost to our guy because of a hometown ref? Come on, stop.
100%. 100%.
You think that we're not
in
honest
fact,
over here? Honesty is like our policy, baby.
In fact, Eric. Three judges / referees that were brought in from out of state approached me later on in the evening at the fight hotel to personally apologize for the behavior of the Ohio referee. So it was really
I'm
that
need
bad.
And, on that. I don't
yeah,
know.
I'm gonna need a little bit more to go on.
We need some statements.
We
need some depositions.
It happened.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I think we're
going
to need a little bit more to go on.
With a loss that should have at least been a draw, but it is.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to check that one out ourselves. I'm just, you know, not that we don't trust you, of course, but it's just heavy accusations. Heavy accusations.
We'll make some calls to the commission tomorrow.
Sure.
Well, I mean, the commission people are actually quite nice, to be honest. My grievance is mostly with that referee. But look, if anybody thinks that it was holding, just go back.
Knows.
It was the second fight on the ESPN Plus undercard. You guys can go check it out. And
he may have been in town for the weekend. You don't know if he's an Ohio native.
That's right.
Yeah,
no, he's
an Ohio native.
You have no idea where that guy came from. Is he from Ohio?
No,
where? Where
from
he
Ohio.
Did he show you his license? Somewhere? Where was he from?
Did he show you his license? You don't know that.
Yeah, did you see his credentials?
He's from, I was
did
told
you, did,
that he's
did you,
from
did you,
Ohio.
Did you take a copy at one of his bills?
So you have hearsay. We don't know. He was told, B, that's hearsay.
I mean, did
that's
you?
That's not
you,
a record.
Were you able to view a copy of one of his bills that had his address?
No,
you
case
don't know
dismissed.
Where this guy was from.
Case dismissed.
You don't know where this guy is from.
I know for a fact that he's from Ohio, okay? I know for a fact that the guy my fighter fought, his hometown is from Ohio, his promoter's from Ohio. And I know for a fact the shenanigans that they were doing for the fighter, which, by the way, Beeb, you're privy to because I told you this in a private conversation. But it is what it is.
Oh, you can't make it public?
Private conversation.
No.
Private conversations are not admissible in court. They're not admissible in court. I cannot be summoned to this hearing because private conversations are inadmissible in court. First off,
I gotta dismiss
look,
this whole
you know,
case because it's based on hearsay.
I am the holder of an Ohio license as a manager and as a trainer, and I don't want to put that in jeopardy, so I probably said too much as it is.
That's right. You did say too much.
Right.
So why don't you, I got some guys over here They're already knocking on my door.
This is public information you're putting out there. This could be.
So, you want to come back, and don't get me wrong, I want to have you back. All right?
This could be a missing
You know.
You're volunteering this information.
Well, I was actually hoping to see you. I was actually hoping to see you at the fight, Eric, you know.
I was hoping to be there. There was so much going on, though.
You need to put the ringside and ringside report in, Eric. You need to show up to these Ohio fights.
I'm trying.
What's going on? Right?
I'm not the ringside or the reporter. I don't know.
Okay. So
man, we have a cushy deal over here, man. You know, we got a good setup over here with ringside reporter, man. We have a good benefits package. You know, we get paid well here. We're doing okay over here, man.
No, I'm sure you are. So and obviously you guys have the best show going on Sunday evenings. Everybody tuning in, hit the like button.
Mondays,
if you're new
too.
To the show,
Mondays,
hit the
Tuesdays,
subscribe
Wednesdays.
Button. And consider joining a membership. It goes a long way to supporting the channel. So before
Absolutely.
I get into the main event, you did mention a word that I've never heard before, Eric. Was it Brazzers, Brazers? What is that exactly? I was confused.
From what I understand, it's an adult website. That's what I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Never been there before, obviously.
Okay.
But this is what I've heard through the grapevine. That is an adult website, but I don't know. I've never been there.
Okay.
I've never paid $39.95 for it.
I've never heard of such a thing personally, but
me neither.
You know, I'm glad you cleared the air on that one.
I mean, you got Google.
I was surprised they even had websites like that.
You have Google. It's a simple Google search away.
And I don't know.
Maestro, just Google it.
I don't want certain things coming up in my Google search, you know. So
okay. All right. It's like that. I got it.
So if I may, I'd like to please talk about the main event.
Please.
You know.
Please do.
I felt that Jared Anderson did very well. I think what a lot of people are not understanding is that he's an undersized heavyweight for the modern heavyweight, you know. And Charles Martin is a pretty big guy who packs a pretty big punch. Yes, he went 10 rounds with him. This was a 10-round fight, obviously. But I felt that he did very well. I mean, he was pressing the action most of the way. He clearly was focusing on the body and wanted to open Martin up to headshots, which he did. He did get hit a couple times, but you know what? This is heavyweight boxing, and when you're hit by a guy who's the size of Charles Martin, I mean, it is going to hurt you. I mean, Charles Martin, even in his losses, has put hands on people and has buzzed them, stunned them, et cetera, et cetera. I thought he did pretty well, you know. You're talking essentially about a guy who's 6'4" taking on a guy who's 6'7", a guy who's mostly known for his boxing technique more than anything. And, I mean, how many rounds did you guys give him? I thought Charles Martin won 2 rounds, no more than that.
I gave him one round.
Yeah,
I gave him two rounds.
I thought he won one round, and I was sitting there live, obviously. You guys can check out my report on the Ring Magazine website. You know, I thought he did very well. The other thing that I thought was very good, too, is that he showed that he has the makings of being a star. He's obviously a star in his hometown. The atmosphere there was insane. You guys may have not been able to tell this, but on the telecast, but live, you could not even hear Mark Chinook over the crowd noise. They were that excited about
this
guy.
They get loud over there.
And
yeah.
Very loud. And we've seen what happens to guys when they fight at home under pressure. We saw what happened to Regis in New Orleans a couple weeks ago. We saw what happened to Josh Taylor against Catterall a while back. Fighting at home isn't easy. It takes a special type of fighter to look very impressive at home. Crawford has done it, obviously. Shakur Stevenson has done it, obviously. And personally, I felt that Jared Anderson did a very good job. He is a 23-year-old. He is a contender, right? And I think he does beat most guys in the division that don't hold belts. You know, you could say Wilder, obviously. Ruiz, probably. But, you know, apart from that level, I mean, what are we talking about? Jalilov? We saw Arslan Beck on the undercard who, you know, steamrolled his opponent in two rounds, knocking him down multiple times. He could be a potential opponent. I didn't hear you guys mention Valin. I think Valin might be a guy that he could mix it up with and be successful against. And to be honest, I still wouldn't write him off against against Joshua, where Joshua is right now, especially coming off of that performance against Jermaine Ortiz. So I don't know. I think that the expectations a lot of people had for him were over the top. I heard Robbie say that everyone was expecting him to blow out Martin. I'll be honest, nobody that I was hanging around with, you know, trainers, managers, people reporting on the fight, thought that Martin was just going to lay down in a couple rounds. So I thought he did reasonably well. Do you guys think that he underperformed?
I don't think so at all. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, what else could the guy have done aside from knocked him out? I mean, really, knocked him down, won every round except one, even won the 12th round.
Yeah.
So what more could he have done? And, like, you know, you're hearing everybody, oh, he's exposed, he's a hyped up. Every time somebody gets hit, they're all of a sudden a hype job. If they don't have a perfect performance out,
seriously.
And you got to look at it a little bit different than that. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Sly Tendencies, thank you so much. He said, give Jared a break, people. He's on the come up. I agree. He's on the come up.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing, too, look, there's this expectation that obviously a lot of boxing fans have that fighters are just supposed to be willing to die for this and, you know, give up brain cells and potentially expose themselves to CTE later on in life. You know, I don't necessarily have a problem with a fighter wanting to get out of the sport in his late 20s. I do think that it's kind of odd that the network and the promoter would put that out there like that. But I was talking to somebody else in the fight game about something. And I mean, guys that start early, especially that are on the Olympic path, this is essentially a job for them very early on. And it reminds me a lot of a guy like Andre Agassi, who started tennis very young and was pushed to the elite very young. And, you know, at a young age decided to walk away from the sport before returning to it. I mean, Michael Chang won the French Open at 17, and by his late 20s, he was done with the sport. So it may be kind of uncommon for boxing fans to think about it this way, but athletes that start very young and do things at a very high level from a very young age oftentimes do feel like it's a job and get burnt out, you know? I'm sure it's like there's peaks and valleys with that feeling, but, you know, I don't think of it as crazy as a lot of people have made it out to be. And on that note, guys, great show as always. I will continue to listen offline. And if anybody's listening from Ohio, I love Ohio. There's so much to do in Ohio. Everybody in Ohio is great, especially the referees, judges, and commission people. And I can't
That's
wait to
right.
be back in Ohio, hopefully working
show
another corner
back.
In another fight. Thank you.
All right. There we go. Maestro. Made amends.
I better not be getting any court summonses because of that.
Absolutely not. 410, Baltimore. I am king. 410, you're live.
Did I hear you say earlier in the show that you picked Jared Anderson to beat Tyson Fury right now?
I'm sorry. He did. He's knocked him out. That was the rumor going around. That's why Tyson Fury had to cancel that second Deontay Wilder fight because he was KO'd in training by Jared Anderson. That's the rumor.
Okay, well, I watched a great deal of stuff on Jared Anderson this week leading up to the fight, and I followed him since, you know, he's been getting hyped. You're the only one that's heard that. How is that? How is it that you're the only one?
Yeah, I'm the only one that's right. I made it up. I made it up.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean,
yeah,
you're the only one that's heard that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Let me tell you something about Jared Anderson.
I just make stuff up here. I just
he's
make stuff up here. That's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, nobody else has heard it, though. Respectfully, maybe you could point me to one single shred. One single shred of anything
anywhere.
Get your
head
anywhere.
In the game already, son.
Wait,
get your head in the game. I know you guys
tell
are out
me,
in Baltimore,
where.
So you guys get the news later on. I'm telling you what I told you, son. I'm
okay,
telling you
well,
what
I'm
I know.
Telling you that
that's
nobody
what I
else
heard.
Has said it. Nobody else has mentioned it. Not one shred of it.
Do you think you have the same source as me and Beeb have?
Do you think that the internet is limited to just
you? Do you think that you have the same source as me and Beeb have?
Probably have better ones. Yeah,
on,
probably
son.
Have better ones.
Come on, son. What's
yeah.
a great living
you're
in that
on an
fantasy
island
world
with
of,
that, bro.
Jerry?
Produce one shred of anything anywhere where that was reiterated. I challenge you to do that.
I'm
one
telling
thing
you
anywhere,
that's the rumor.
Anywhere.
That's the rumor,
okay.
son.
Okay,
that's
well, let me tell
rumor.
You what isn't. Let me tell you what isn't rumor.
Oh,
what
no,
we seen
no,
last
no,
night
no, no, no.
was hit, was Jared Anderson almost get stopped by a 38-year-old journeyman heavyweight. A guy that's never won a big fight.
Did
every
we see
time
that,
he
really?
Because
what was the final?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
What
was the final on that? What was the
every
final,
time
was
he got hit. Every time he got hit.
How many rounds did he win? How many rounds did he win? Charles Martin, I'm speaking of. How many rounds did he win? How many? How many did you give him? How many did you
he
give
won
him?
The fight. No argument there.
You what?
No argument there. He won the
you
fight.
Had Charles Martin winning the fight. Is that what you
no,
said?
No. I had Jared winning the fight, yes.
Okay, how?
Yeah, he won the
it?
Fight.
What did you score?
I didn't really score it, but he won.
But you
he
had
won.
Him win the fight?
Yeah.
How did you have him win the fight if you didn't score it?
Because I watch
you just
fights
said, I
with
think
my
this guy
eyes.
Wins?
I watch fights
I just
with
think
my
this guy
eyes,
wins.
And I can tell
how many
wins.
Rounds did you give? I wish I could ask you how many rounds you gave Martin, but you didn't score it that way. But I gave him one round. Deed gave him two.
Yeah.
The judges gave him two. So you tell me, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the fourth round when he almost got knocked out, and then again in the tenth round.
It was actually
every
the fifth
time
round.
He got
it
hit,
was in the fifth round.
Every time he got hit, his leg
he
turned
got,
the
he almost got knocked
he was
out.
Very
he, did he get knocked down?
He's a prospect.
See, how many
prospect.
Knockdowns did Charles Martin record?
The Canadian
yeah.
guy
zero?
On the undercard likely knocks him out. He's a prospect.
Okay,
well,
how many times did he get knocked down last night?
I don't think he got knocked down at all. He didn't,
right,
get, knocked
he didn't
down.
Get knocked down at all. He didn't right, get right. knocked down at all. Right?
Well, all this does
but he
is
almost
shine,
knocked out.
Well, what it does
how
is
does
like you saying he beat
how does
Fury,
it work, Steve, when I don't leave
and,
my feet, but
and
I'm almost knocked down a couple times in the fight?
Shines a light on why you're strong.
I win every
so
round, but I was almost knocked out. Stop.
Wrong
Stop.
Consistently. That's why.
You sound
it shines
silly
a light
right
on
now.
Why
you
you're wrong so
right
consistently.
Now.
Here's a little clue.
I'm
follow
right
the Vegas
all the time.
Odds,
I'm the
follow
king of
the
Baltimore.
Vegas
this
odds,
is why you should follow
and you'll
me.
Be right about 75%
listen,
of the time.
What you
just
need to do
the Vegas odds,
is get me
because
game,
your insight
get your
is
gear
garbage.
Off, hop on my bandwagon and come on in for the big win. All right? That's what you should be doing right now. But instead,
right.
you're sulking over there in Baltimore about a fight that you have no control over. You have no idea what even happened in the fight because you're saying one guy almost got knocked out. I didn't
he
see
He almost
one
got
guy
knocked
almost
out in the fourth
out.
Round. He was on shaky street against a 38-year-old
really,
heavyweight
he?
On a 2-week notice.
Yeah,
that's your great
on that
fighter.
One?
The first time he set up,
one round?
The first time
you
he
gave
steps
him one round,
up,
right?
First time he steps, no,
one
I
round?
Had him winning four rounds. I had Martin
you winning had him
four,
winning
rounds,
four rounds,
and that round was likely a
it.
2-point round.
Wait a minute, how did you
yeah.
give him four rounds if you didn't score it? That's what I don't understand.
Well,
you didn't
listen,
score the fight, but you gave him four rounds? How? How is that?
Tyson Fury
How?
Would humiliate guy. Humiliate.
Yeah, but I just humiliated you. So what,
you,
you know,
humiliate
so tell me,
nothing.
How did you score the fight, but you gave him four rounds?
Your picks humiliate you
Stop.
Every week. Your hyperbole exposes your lack
my
of,
hyperbole,
of
my
intimate
hyperbole.
Boxing
my hyperbole.
Knowledge.
There's a big difference.
You have
why I'm
no
here,
intimate
there.
Boxing knowledge.
Big difference. Big
Listen
difference.
To what Eric tells you, and you're probably going to be far better off when what Beep
right.
Dweeb tells you. Listen to what he
All
says.
Right.
He
Do you have anything
bit.
Else of note to tell us?
All right.
Because I got to be honest, it's boring. boring.
What? Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm boring, but
why is he taking shots at me? I didn't say anything to him.
You didn't say
words
to him.
I didn't say one word. He's taking shots at me. What did I do?
I said you are the one with any intimate boxing knowledge. Your partner there is a fanboy. He doesn't know anything.
Call me dweeb.
Dweeb?
Call me dweeb.
I meant to say beeb.
He doesn't know. You're dealing hyperbole. It's all hyperbole, dweeb. That's what it is.
You give me flashbacks of when I was a kid and getting called names and stuff.
Dude, you want to get that thing trademarked. You want to get hyperbole trademarked. You got to get it trademarked.
The next thing. Women boxers don't decide that the rounds are 3 rounds or 2 minutes.
They want them
to be three.
Yes, they don't.
They're not the ones that make that rule.
Yes, they do.
If you ask the women fighters like they've been asked, they say repeatedly they want
three-minute
rounds. No, they don't.
How many women boxers?
I know you talk
to a bunch of women fighters and stuff like that. I forgot. You're off in that fantasy land.
Staggering.
Why don't you tell us they want to fight 3 minutes?
Yeah, so the women decide that. They do.
Because if they went to the promoters, they went to the commission and said, hey, I want this three, they would make it three.
No.
Just that simple.
They're not the ones that decide
that,
genius.
They don't decide it.
They want the three-minute round.
The WBC is really the only sanctioning body that has come out and said that we will never sanction a three-minute round fight between women. But Sunisa Estrada and Marlon Esparza actually – No, let me finish. Sunisa Estrada and Marlon Esparza actually fought a fight with 3 minute rounds. They both agreed to do it.
Ooh, what about that?
So it has happened
before. Hey, Jerry, what about that?
The fighters don't constitute those.
Hey, Jerry,
roles.
What happened with that?
The commission.
What about that?
What about that, though?
You
moron.
3 minutes, huh?
They don't make those
three
rules.
3 minutes, son?
Moron.
No, they don't.
You are so uneducated.
They can't ask for those rules, can they? It's hyperbole, Jerry. It's hyperbole.
Yeah. Yeah. You use your hand to show over to your buddy, bro, because you're a buffoon. You just don't know anything, man. Really, you don't know nothing. You think it's the women that decide.
And this is what this call is debilitated to. I love it. And, Jerry, you know what? This is why I am the king of Baltimore.
The king of Baltimore.
Bow down before me. Bow down before me, please. Bow down before me. Take the
you're
knee.
The queen.
The knee.
You're the queen of Baltimore is what you are.
Bend the knee.
You look like
Either
a
way,
tranny.
You're going to bend the knee.
Tranny.
Bend the knee.
Bye, tranny.
Whoa! You know what I found out? You know, speaking of transsexuals, I guess, the you know the kid that was on the Bud Light can? He graduated UC. University of Cincinnati, baby.
Uh-oh.
One of us.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Bend the knee. All right, Jerry, we're going to get running.
Bye, Tranny.
Happy 4th of July, Jerry.
Happy 4th of July. Hyperbole. That's a new one, B. Not the T word. Yeah, that was crazy. I just found that out. Like, I knew the kid or whatever, like, what his name was or whatever, but I didn't know it was like, I didn't know he was from here. That's crazy.
I didn't know that either.
I don't drink Bud Light, though, so it doesn't really bother me.
I don't drink at all. I'm not a drinker.
No. Drink liquids, though, right?
Yeah.
There you go. That's what you need. 806. You're live.
Yeah, man, I'm just here stroking my cock like always, thinking about black guys with big cocks.
Nice.
Brassers,
what about
I don't
what
need
about
brassers. Huh? No, Beeb has some nice lips. I know he could do to my cock. I could just imagine that.
Lick your lips for him, Beeb. See what he does.
I can't do it.
What's the matter?
I can't do it. Oh, God. every week, this like every couple of weeks, this guy calls in with a different number.
I got to be honest. I don't mind it. I got to be honest. I don't mind it.
That's horrible.
You got a fan, Beeb.
Oh, God.
You got a fan.
Please.
419. You're live.
Yeah, what's up, Eric? What's up, Beeb? Toledo is in the house.
What's going on, man?
I don't know what the I don't know what the hell Jerry was talking. I was at the fight. The atmosphere was great in the building, and it was off the hook. Look, it's like this. Jared Anderson is a prospect. Out of all the prospects, he is the first prospect. Out of all the prospects of today that are coming up, he is the first prospect to fight a seasoned veteran pro. Okay?
Tell it.
And he looked it good. Are there technical flaws? Yes, that can be fixed. With the trainer from Toledo, I forget his name, damn. But with the trainer from Toledo, that can be worked on. You can work on those type of flaws. Now, can any of the top heavyweight prospects beat the elite of the heavyweight division right now? No, none of them, including the European on the card last night. None of those guys are ready. All of those guys have been fighting bums. That's what they're there for. That's what the bums are there for, to make them look good. Jared Anderson is the only one, is the first one out of that crop who fought a seasoned pro. Okay, now, where do you go from here? You work on not pulling back and getting caught, you know, because if Martin would have had a little bit of oomph about him and knew how to put his punches together and was polished, you know, he is a pro, but let's keep it real. Martin started boxing at 23 years old. He, you know, he has no real skill, okay? But he's a seasoned pro who's had a heavyweight world title and who has been in there with some with top-ranked opponents, Joshua and Ortiz, you know, got knocked out by Joshua in the second round and knocked down, was on his way to defeating Ortiz, but, you know, he lost that fight. He got knocked out.
Yep.
The next question is, should the prospects fight each other? No, you don't fight the Eastern European. Now, I'm not going to lie. If Jared would have went up against Frank Sanchez last night, you know, he would have lost. But out of all, again, out of all the heavyweight prospects, he is the first to fight a seasoned veteran pro. Now, I can see Jared, you correct his mistakes. I can see him getting there and beating an Ortiz. Ortiz is old. Maybe Dylan White. I wouldn't want to see him in there against Joseph Parker or even, how do you pronounce his name, Huzang lost to Hargovich. I wouldn't want to see him against them. I wouldn't want to see Jared or any of the prospects against your top-level heavyweight because, you know, they're not ready. You know, none of them, even the Eastern Europeans, all these guys are fighting bums. Okay, with that said, the women's boxing. What's her name? Marshall and Derzon Cruz. That was an ugly fight. The Shields fight was way more entertaining. DAZN made it ugly. Marshall won. And I still don't see anybody beating Cruz, not even Shadisha Green. My disappointment of the night was Jahi Tucker. I was really disappointed he lost. The it should have been at least a draw. You know, the was he Puerto Rican? I think so. The fighter he was fighting, I think so. He should have. He was slipping shots, but you have to return. And when you slip those shots like that, sometimes Tucker wasn't punching. You have to, you know, return those shots, fire back. You know, don't just slip. And, you know, this is not the amateurs. So that's what I was disappointed about. I'm sick of people saying, oh, well, Jared Anderson, this prospect will beat him. That prospect, I heard somebody even say, well, Torres will beat him. Torres doesn't even have five fights. If that, you know, again, I'm going to say it again. None of these guys are ready for the top elite heavyweights. They're a work in progress. Now, what a lot of people are concerned about is Jared Anderson's mental. When he, I still didn't see it yet, but I guess he went on that interview with Roy Jones and was crying and saying he wants to only fight until he's 27 years old. You guys were talking about that earlier. If you're going to be in the game, this boxing game is for the long haul. Now, if let's pretend a sober Mike Tyson would have did everything he was supposed to do and retired in 1994, that would have been okay. But, you know, that's a fucking unreality dreamland. We're not getting that. Out of all the prospects, I don't know where to rank them, but Jared Anderson is in the top three. He is in the top three. Now, where to put him? I don't know, but he's still learning. And people who don't watch boxing, oh my God, oh this and that, and oh he was in. This dude would have beat him. And he fought a seasoned pro, people, a seasoned pro. So that's all I have to say. I thank you guys for listening to me. And Eric, go Ohio, go Ohio. We how do you say it? Title town, baby. Title town.
Title town, baby. That's the way it is.
Beeb, always love to talk. I catch you from through the week from time to time. I know you see me there, so y'all be cool. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you, brother.
Raphael 32. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you this. Check me out on Bernie the Boxer, live call-in. It was like two Thursdays ago. The title is Crawford Punks Derrick James at the 24:57 mark, and it's very, very great content. That's out at the 24:57 mark at Chat and Beeb and Eric. Check that out. It's really good. He goes on for about – we talk for about a half an hour, and it's really, really good. Check it out. Bernie
good
the Boxer.
Good stuff, man.
All right.
We'll do.
Thank you, brother.
Y'all be
all
cool.
Right. Thank you so brother. Much, my friend. You too.
Take care, man.
All these good calls come from Ohio. 516, New York. I believe this is New York. Isn't it New York?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jesse. What's going on? What's
Jesse.
Up, guys?
What's up,
Jesse?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just watched the documentary, the Andre Ward documentary. I'm glad you brought that up earlier on the show, Beeb. And they talked about the Darnell Boone, which I'm a little disappointed
Ohio
Darnell
fighter.
Boone didn't get it. Ohio.
The show, by the
and
way.
I'm disappointed he didn't get a segment there, an interview there, you know, because that was a good little segment of the movie, the Andre Ward movie on Showtime. So they had just had that discussion that all the internet was saying that he was exposed. And then I watched the Jared Anderson fight, and then the fifth round happened, and I saw everybody saying that he got exposed and everything. And that's what made me think about why aren't they saying that he overcame adversity instead of saying that, you know, he almost left on the fifth round, which he did. His legs were wobbly and stuff. But, I mean, you know, this is what boxing is about. You know, you have a toughness, you overcome it. And then so a lot means to be seen with him. But, you know, I like him. I'm a fan, you know. I went to the Berlanga fight. I took my son. He had a great time. Biba finally took him to a fight, man, at the Garden.
Good, man.
Yeah, at the small theater. I got to tell you guys, man, Kowalski, Robbie said that Matchroom doesn't make good undercards. Kowalski versus Kusamanon was one of the best fights live. That fight was crazy. And they went back and forth, you know, and Kusamanon, you know, we were leaving and me and my son met him and we were like, hey, good fight. And he was like, hey, champ, to my son, you want to take a picture? So he's a real nice guy. And you guys were talking about heavyweight fights for Jared Anderson. What about him? He's just coming off a big win. What do you guys think of that fight?
Okay, it's all right.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
We'll take it.
Rob?
Not bad.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an idea I thought of. And then you know, Robbie said that, well, I want to see Zoo versus Charlo too, right? But you cannot say somebody's ducking somebody if they're going, like you guys, you know, kind of said that, right? You're going into a harder fight and more money. How in the world is that ducking somebody? And it wasn't only Robbie. I've seen that on Twitter. Like, oh, Charlo's ducking Zoo. Is like, what in what world does that make sense? You know? You know?
In Robbie's world, a lot of things make sense that don't make sense to everyone else.
Yeah, but it wasn't only Robbie. I've seen, like, that narrative go through Twitter. But,
yeah,
you know, yeah. I think the fight that would have been more sensible. I mean, I don't know. You guys said that you think this Charlo puts up a better fight. The brother is the one that puts up the better fight. You know, he's fighting the wrong Charlo. I think
yeah,
he walks the ground
with
this Charlo.
That.
You know, and you know, this is going to be an easy win for Canelo. I think Canelo's actually going to get a stoppage here, to be honest.
So you think Jamal is better than Jermell?
Well, yeah, and he fights at that weight class, you know?
I think it would be a better fight.
I don't know.
I mean, they're kind
yeah.
of one and the same, but honestly, I think it would be a better fight if the bigger Charlo fought him.
I think the perception is because Jermell fights at 154, but
so what's going on? Okay, so let me ask you this. The one guy, he hasn't fought because of a hand injury, you know, a so-called hand injury, whatever. What about the other Charlo who hasn't fought in 2 years? What's going on with him?
There's supposed to be mental problems. He's having some depression issues.
Was he having chick issues or something?
A lot of things going on. I can't reveal it.
What do you mean you can't reveal it? Like you've sworn to secrecy or something. Like you just took a ginger shot at his house and said, I'm not talking about anything. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I promised I wouldn't say anything.
Shut up.
No, I already was going through some issues with you know, some depression. I think
he's got 99 problems.
Yeah, he's got some problems.
All right, Jesse, we're gonna get running, man. Thank you so much. Let's go to 760. I believe this is California. I believe 760. You're live.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Brian.
Brian,
different number.
Long
760,
time no
different
hear,
number,
Brian.
Though.
How
what's
been,
up
man?
With you, man? I'm good, man. How you been, B? What's up with you, Eric? What's good?
Good, man.
Okay,
man.
Don't even think of getting older
every day, but I'm
on,
right.
Man. Let me get a sentence before you hang up on me, all right?
He's already worried about you hanging up on him.
Damn. He like, oh, shit. Damn. Man, you was ready, man. I know. But
he got his finger over the friggin' over the
yeah, he
over
ain't
the
no
hang-up
joke,
button.
Man. He ain't no joke. I'm scared of him. Hey, but check it.
All right, we're gonna get running, Brian. Thanks so much for the call,
man.
Appreciate
it. Don't do it, though. Let him burn.
Hello. Hey, you be doing that to me. I'll be like, hello. Oh,
Brian,
yeah.
Brian,
really
you're on
up.
The clock here. Get your shit off, man.
I know. You're still talking about it.
You're on the clock. Get your shit off, man. Let me talk.
You guys always taking up everybody's damn calls with your talk. Let
get
me say something.
Shit.
Let me talk about Jared Anderson, okay? I'm going to talk about this guy. I think I was very surprised, you know what I'm saying, that it went beyond two rounds. I was shocked. Wasn't you guys?
No.
I was a little bit surprised.
No, I think Charles Martin came to win last night, man.
He did.
Charles Martin came to win last
night. He had that look in his eye. I was kind of suspicious. I was like, is it you think it's got the potential to go past two rounds? But, yeah, he had that look, and he went out there and made it happen. He went the distance. But I think that it's still not bad for – you know, I knew people was going to talk shit about Jared Anderson, but – I still don't take nothing away from that, though. You know that man right there. That was a good win to me because it showed he's a little versatile and he's got skills to win. He has more than just knocking somebody out to win a fight. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, with my boy Wilder, that's like his main thing. But you got this dude, Jared Anderson, you know, he's able to use his boxing. Because it was a – you know, he did get caught, but he went back to his basics. I mean, he started using a jab and you know, using angles again. And I mean, you guys agree? I mean, because I just think,
he made adjustments. Yeah.
He made adjustments in the
fight. I think, yeah.
Oh, he was good.
I think he's pretty good. You know, to me, he's pretty good. And, you know, I don't think he can beat Tyson Fury. Who said he could beat Tyson Fury? Oh, okay. Eric just be saying shit. You know, he just say shit just to say shit, just to make somebody mad.
Go,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm telling
you,
man.
He's going to try to make somebody mad.
I looked up on YouTube now. You can search Jared Anderson, knocked out, what's his name in sparring. You can do a search. There's a ton of videos on it. You can do a search. I'm telling you, it was the rumor going around.
Okay, but
and yeah, he
could
absolutely beat Tyson Fury right now. He crushed right now. Wouldn't even be close,
man. Oh, you tripping,
man. He's from
Ohio. You make sure we do a pie bet on that shit if you saying that bullshit. You know you don't believe that. There's no way.
Tyson Fury, he's not even fighting anymore. He's going to fight Francis Ngannou next. Did you hear about that? Did you guys hear about this? So Tyson Fury, let me jump in here real quick. Tyson Fury, apparently the deal, the December fight with Usyk has fallen through. And Tyson, their speculation is that Tyson's going to fight somebody like Francis Ngannou or something like that. It's going to be like one of those
type
of fights.
I hope not.
That's crazy.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Me neither. So no Usyk versus Fury. Nope.
That's what I'm hearing.
Usyk. Oh, Lord. Man. Why? What? B, that's your boy. That's your boy, B.
That's your boy. You're responsible for him.
I mean, what can I do about this, man?
You're in charge of Beeb Industries.
I'm lost for words, man. I'm disappointed.
Eagle's adopted son. That's you. Do something about it.
Why would he even need a fight in Ghana? What even? Why?
Money.
What sense do that
money
even make?
Money.
Well, when I think about it, okay, because. Who else he got to make money with? And, well, Anthony Joshua. Shit, where the fuck Anthony Joshua at? Where he at? What's up with him?
He's fighting Dillian White.
Eric,
that's what we're hearing, Dillian White on the 12th.
Boy, AJ? Dillian White?
He's fighting Dillian White on the 12th. August 12th.
Man, I don't
Dillian
think
White.
You guys just make... Look, man. Look, okay. Look,
am I
okay,
making that up,
Beam?
Am I making that up?
Let's not even talk about the heavyweights no more. Let's
that's
talk
the word
about
on the street, man. That's the word on the street.
Okay, fuck that heavyweight. Let's not even talk about him no more. Canelo fighting against Jermell instead of Jamal the middleweight, right?
Yeah, he's fighting the little brother.
How did that happen? Is it a catchweight?
The other one wasn't ready. That's what
Jamal
I was
wasn't
saying.
Ready.
The other one wasn't ready.
Jamal said he wasn't ready.
Yeah, I mean, he's only been out for 2 years, you know.
And off for 2 years, man. He ain't ready for that.
Damn.
No.
Damn,
he said, you think I'm
going to
jump right into that after a two-year layoff? I ain't with that. That's what he said.
Is that what he said?
He said.
Wow.
Quote, unquote, man.
Man.
Wow, seriously?
Mm.
Wow. Mm.
He should have been ready. That's crazy, man. Well, he blew it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? He totally blew that. So is it official? It's official?
Yeah.
Or is it just rumored? Or this is official?
They've announced it.
Charlo, man, Charlo came up. I wouldn't even thought that fight would even. I wasn't even thinking that fight at all. Not them two. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So that's going to be the September
good
fight.
Good fight, man.
Can't believe
it's a good fight, man.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, we're going to get running.
Hold on, wait. One more
we're
question.
We're going to get moving. Come on, man.
Let him finish one thing.
Just because of B. That's it. That's the only one.
It's been a long
look,
time.
Eric,
what?
You doing me like this. We go way back, man. Way back. Remember? You remember, man. We used to kick it back in the day, man, out here in L.A. That's why you got that 323 number.
That's right.
Stop playing. You perpetrate. Hey, so what weight class they fighting at? That's
68.
The last question.
68.
Damn. So Charlo going
to
move up?
You ain't talked to me. You ain't talked to me in a while. When you don't talk to me for
a
while.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You're out of the loop.
Are you guys still sending each other clothes and stuff?
You. Man, I haven't been getting my...
I'm just asking questions, man. I'm just asking questions.
You know I make
those. You said be
you
clothes,
know
right?
Clothes.
Am I wrong?
Bobby, a T-shirt.
I
myself. Bobby,
another
a T-shirt.
Okay,
without
listen,
somebody
man,
making
I
a big deal
clothes.
About it.
You didn't
listen,
buy me a pajama onesie, said he sent me a T-shirt.
Hey, that's what you...
See,
that's what he likes. I don't know.
Because
I don't
want
know.
Me to send him... He want me to send him that Canelo shirt. I'm going to make you the Canelo shirt, and I'm going to send it to you, okay? Stop being so mad about it. I'm going to send you one, okay? I'm going to send one for you, all right? Stop tripping. But, hey, man, you guys have a good holiday, man. Thanks for letting me on. You guys take it easy.
All right.
As long as he's ever, that's the longest call he ever got.
I know, that's it now.
You gave him like 3 minutes.
He's done. Now he's done. 915, I think this is D-Style, El Paso.
D-Style.
915, you're live.
What's going on? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. What's up, man?
All right. Look, I just wanted to call in about this whole, first of all, I'm very, very relieved that it's not Jermall. All right, because you don't want to reward a guy that's been out for 2 years with a Saul Canelo Alvarez fight. That sends the wrong message to the rest of boxing. I'd rather reward a guy who's an undisputed champion and has been taking care of business in his division than a guy that's been out for 2 years. That's just my opinion, all right? And he didn't look so good 2 years ago either, okay? He struggled against a very low-level Mexican. Just imagine the best Mexican of them all, okay? So I don't know about all that. I just wanted to say that I actually like the Jermall fight. This stuff's been done before. B-Hop, all right, went up to fight Tarver, jumped to weight classes, and not only did he win, he won in dominating fashion. Roy Jones, very famously, right? He went up and fought John Ruiz, became heavyweight champion. Pacquiao jumped up several divisions, beat up Oscar De La Hoya, then Cotto after that, shortly after that anyway. So, it, like, this type of stuff's been done before. Canelo and Jermall were both champions at 154 in 2016. I believe that was the year. The only difference is Canelo has been more active, and he's just conquered more divisions. I don't buy this whole Canelo's this huge guy. He's going to make little Jermall move up. I don't buy any of that. If anything, Jermall might even be, we know he's taller than Canelo, that's for sure. Canelo is not a big 168 pounder. He's just so talented that he has to move up to challenge himself. But now, you know, he hasn't been the bigger guy, quote unquote, since the Khan fight. Like, give the guy a break. He's been the smaller guy, fight after fight after fight, and people want to make a big deal because he might not be the bigger guy in this fight. That's just my opinion, right? But with that aside, I do feel for Tim Tszyu, and I could confirm this very confidently. I did an interview with Tim Tszyu's manager, Glenn Jennings, and I already knew a lot of this information, but I wanted him to come on to do the interview so he could give it to everybody else. Tim Tszyu's team was led to believe that this fight was just imminent and ready to be announced. That's my issue with it, all right? That they were led to believe that everything was agreed to, everything, all right? They had already agreed to the fight before, so it was not that difficult negotiating it. Where the rumors that were coming out saying, oh, Tim's team, they want to take it to Australia, not true. That was never true. They never wanted to take it anywhere. They said, same deal we agreed to last year, just different date, let's go. That's what it was. And I guess in the 11th hour, we all know what happened. Saul Canelo Alvarez needed an opponent. He needed a Charlo. He had two of them. One of them wasn't ready or whatever, so he went ahead and gave Jermall Charlo the golden ticket. It is what it is. However, I don't blame Tim Tszyu for calling out Jermall because he's waited over a year for this. Their fight got postponed because Jermall got – first of all, when they first booked it, it was 7 months out. Like, that's ridiculous, okay? So he had to wait 7 months to get his title shot, and then 2 weeks before the fight, Jermall gets injured allegedly, all right? And I'm saying allegedly because that hand healed quick once he got the call from Canelo. He answered that phone with the same hand, no problem. But what I'm saying is, all right, allegedly his hand was injured. Tim Tszyu stayed busy, said no problem. They had Jermall, the broadcasting team, you know, talking all this stuff and saying they were going to do the fight, blah, 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 blah. So all I know is this. Right? I'm not saying us, like me or some random fan. Okay, I don't know. We could be saying, you know, Jermall ducked. But if Tim Zhu wants to say this motherfucker ducked me, I think he has a right to say it, given the circumstances, given the way they were led on. Okay, they were played in this situation. All right. Now, I will say, I have every reason to believe that Jermall was going to fight Tim Zhu unless he got this Canelo call, right? Because the only thing they were waiting for was an announcement. Well, there was an announcement. It just wasn't Tim Zhu. But I just want to put it out there that Tim Zhu has every right to be pissed off in this situation. And it's as simple as that. He has every right to feel how he feels. Now, what he does next, I think the right thing to do is strip Jermall. Strip him of the belt. I don't have a problem with you going up there and getting your payday, but you're going to get stripped. And I think Tim Zhu should fight, I don't know, a Mendoza, the Russian cat that's supposedly in line for the WBO. There's different guys he could fight. He could become the new undisputed champion in that weight class. That's what they should do with Tim Zhu.
There you go. All right, D-Style, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call.
Hey.
Speed, Thursdays. Tell us what goes on Thursdays.
Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. The roundtable will be on my channel this week, and it'll be on D-Style's the week after, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you check it out. We alternate weeks. I do 1 week on my channel. He does 1 week on his channel, and we have a variety of different panelists every single week. The latest boxing news, rumors, and topics.
I love the show because we got a ton of different people on there each week. You guys got a ton of different people on there each week, and you all have good opinions. And some of the things that you think is going to go status quo don't. You know, they don't always go like that. People have differing opinions on it, and it's always good to get the different perspectives on things.
Yeah, it's not an echo chamber.
Right. And which is what we like. So it's awesome. A great show. You guys tune into it. If you guys like what we're doing, right? If you guys have been being entertained for the past hour, 2 hours, whatever we're on here for, go ahead and give us a thumbs up, man. It really helps our rating, and it helps us. So just give us a thumbs up. We don't ask for any money or anything like that. Obviously, if you want to send some, go ahead. But otherwise, just hit the like button, man. Let's see here. Let's go to the news and rumors. So Canelo Alvarez set to face Jermall Charlo, not Jermall. And this is scheduled, from what I understand, ESPN is quoting September 30th. As a date, not September 16th or like that weekend or anything like that. So
yeah.
I found that a little bit odd, but okay, that's fine.
Some people are saying it's because of the UFC date, but then others are saying it's just trying to give Jermall more time to get ready because he's,
I think that's probably more it. And I think that it's cool that he gave him a couple weeks or whatever to do that because he didn't have to do that. But
correct.
Were you as shocked as I was when it didn't turn out to be the other Charlo? But either Charlo, well, I mean, if you combine it, I mean, one's been out 2 years, the other one's been out a year.
Yeah. D-Style made a lot of great points. And I said this myself. If I want to be real here in my opinion, I think Canelo isn't really even a full-fledged super middleweight himself. This guy could probably still make middleweight. He's a very small guy in comparison to the other super middleweights. Every fight he's fought at super middleweight, he's always been the smaller guy, right? And you could argue that both Charlo brothers are the same size. We've been saying for the longest time that we believed Jermall was going to move up anyways.
They're
now, obviously,
twins.
We didn't think We didn't believe he was going to be moving up to 168. We thought he was going to be going to 160, but both Charlo brothers are like 6'1". They're both big guys. They both can carry it. They're both bigger than Canelo. So
both powerful.
Yeah. So I don't think this is obviously they're coming from different weight classes. We know that there's weight classes for a reason, but I never thought, I believe you never thought that Jermall was ever going to stay at 154 for the rest of his career.
We expected he was going to 160.
Yeah, we knew he was going up. So,
but
I don't think the size thing is that big of a deal. But I understand the argument because of him being 154 and Canelo being at 168 much longer. But like I said, at the end of the day, this isn't going to be an issue of Canelo bullying Jermall, overpowering him. This is going to be a skillful fight. This could be a chess match. For as long as it lasts, it could even go the distance. I do think Canelo will win the fight, But I think this, I could be wrong here. I've been wrong several times. This could be a more competitive fight than I anticipate, but I'm looking forward to that. I hope I'm wrong here. And it's funny too, because if you look at both guys' careers, Jermell has been looking better lately, right? He's been fighting this different competition. And I remember a story way back when where Golden Boy was only interested in him. And he told Golden Boy, I won't sign unless you sign my brother to give him a shot. So he was always looked at as being the better boxer of the two.
Right.
Right. And, you know, Jermell does have more knockouts overall. But if you look at each guy's last six fights, Jermell has been the guy who's kind of been the puncher. Because Jamal's only had like two knockouts in his last six fights. Hasn't looked great in his last six fights. While Jermell has looked stellar. Right, and he's had
really
four knockouts. Yeah, he had four knockouts in his last six fights. So I would argue, given the circumstances, and not only just given the circumstances, but just on the surface, I think this is a better matchup than a fight with Jermall would have been.
Do you think that power translates at 168?
I do. My only concern is he's coming off the hand injury, and from what I hear, he didn't get surgery on the hand. I think he did a lot of therapy, so I don't know if he should have got surgery. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just thinking, because he's been off so long, because of the hand, will he be 100% with that hand? That's my only concern, is the hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be – it's an interesting fight. I mean, either fight – it's a good fight either way. Don't get me wrong. Either Charlo he fought was going to be good. But, yeah, we – I think this one is a – I think this one is a legit fight. I think this is, it's a very good fight. I mean, I don't think you can ask for a better fight. You know, unless he fights Benavidez or the other Charlo, but he's got a three-fight deal with PBC now, right?
That's what they're saying, yeah.
Yeah. So September 30th. Yeah, that's going to be good, man. That's going to be a good fight.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that Charlo does better than anybody expects here, man. I really do. I don't know that he wins, but I think he puts up a fight. I don't think he gets steamrolled. I don't think it's
Canelo, like and no disrespect to Canelo, he's shown a little bit of a slippage, but even with that slippage, he's still a phenomenal fighter. Don't get it twisted. But will that little bit of slippage be enough?
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yeah.
Once you start slipping, man, it's you never know who's going to walk in that ring. And you think about it, Canelo's a younger guy, man, but he's got a million miles on him. He's been fighting since what, you know?
15 years old.
Yeah,
like,
pro, wasn't he?
He's going to be 33. Yeah, he's turned pro 15 years old in Mexico. So.
That's insane.
He's got to get a lot of miles on the tank.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know when he steps through, and that could be it, man.
Everyone called him green when he fought Floyd Mayweather, but he had 45 belts under his, 45 fights under his belt.
Yeah, but he was. I mean, he was. He was like a lot like Chavez, where they fought and fought and just kept him active. You know, and Chavez would go back to Mexico anyway just to fight in front of those crowds.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Chavez, but he's really kind of slowed that down. As he's gone in, he's improved on things, and he's the cash cow right now. So
I agree.
Andy Ruiz and Deontay Wilder, apparently that fight is in jeopardy now. Ruiz wants a 50-50 split to face Wilder. Deeb, does he deserve 50-50?
Well, I'm going to be consistent on this, and I've always said this. I don't criticize a fighter for asking for certain things and knowing, believing in his worth. So I've always been a hard negotiator in my life. I'm the type of guy that tries to squeeze water, water out of a rock.
Yeah.
I'm a hard guy to deal with. When I was doing my contract, with Ringside Reporter, man.
Sure.
I asked him, I want a stipend for my sweetest massages every month.
Right.
I didn't think I was going to get it, but
I didn't either, and I was so surprised. I was really surprised.
Robert had some issues because he wanted them to pay some OnlyFans memberships for him.
That's stuff we don't do here.
They wouldn't go for that, but because the way I broke it down, that these Swedish massages would take a lot of stress off of me, and in turn, I'd be much more effective behind the mic. They agreed, and I got it,
and it worked.
So it works. Sometimes when you ask for a lot, you get more than what someone is willing to give you. So this whole thing, I know fans like to get into these back and forth. Oh, this guy doesn't deserve this. Dude, when you go for a job interview, I'm sure you ask for the most amount of money that you can get. And I'm sure the guy on the other side is trying to pay you less than you want So this is how it's done in life. I don't hold anyone to a standard that I don't hold myself to. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to sit there and you know, disrespect Andrew Reese or talk trash about Andrew Reese because he wants 50%. I would ask for 50% too. Does that mean I'm going to get it? No, but we'll see what happens. He played hardball with Joshua in the second fight because he ended up getting paid, I think, a couple $1 million more than they were originally going to pay him. Yeah. So, and he got the fight to be in Saudi instead of the UK. He didn't want to go to the UK. He wanted to go into neutral territory, and Saudi, you can argue, is not really neutral. They're like Joshua there, but it's still better than the UK. So again, I don't begrudge or criticize any fighter for negotiating hard on his own behalf. I don't have a problem with it.
No, I don't think he deserves a 50-50, but if he can get it, why not? 60-40 is probably right. I don't think 70-30. I think they offered him 70-30 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little too wide.
Yeah.
But I think the 60-40 definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Max Kellerman and Andre Ward gone from ESPN. ESPN yesterday axed a bunch of on-air talent. Along with Kellerman, Keyshawn Johnson, Jeff Van Gundy, Steve Young, Jalen Rose, Susie Colbert, Todd McShay, Matt Hasselbeck, and LaFonso Ellis were among some of the talent let go. Andre Ward posted on social media that this was his last fight on his ESPN contract and he would not be coming back. Now, whether Andre quit or he got fired, I don't know. Who cares? I can't imagine they would have let Andre Ward go, though. But
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to speculate, but I will say this. He was my favorite member of that broadcast team by far.
By far.
I'm a huge Andre Ward fan in and out of the ring. I just think he's a great guy. He's a great fighter. I liked his analysis. I thought it was very, very fair. I thought he was very unbiased. I thought he wasn't afraid to say what he felt like saying.
Yeah.
You know? He's a fair guy.
Yeah, apparently that King KO just said Susie Colbert's been at ESPN since the 90s. That's crazy. I mean, the talent that they dropped, I mean, there was a lot of people, like a lot of big names being dropped. So, yeah, man, I don't know. But anyway, Kellerman's gone, and so is Ward. So there you go. Tell you another guy, Hank Lundy, retired. He had a fight this weekend. He didn't come out on the winning end, but he went ahead and announced his retirement, friend of the show.
Yeah.
I always said it every time I see this guy, I hear about him, I mention him. He should have been one of the biggest stars out there, man. He just promoted. I don't know. I always felt he was promoted wrong, but hey, man, what are you going to do? But he had a good career, man, and good for him, man. I'm glad he's hanging it up and going to enjoy life now. And Dillian White has signed an agreement to face Anthony Joshua on August 12th. Steve, you like that fight?
I do. I think it's a good fight. I think both guys have kind of declined a little bit, but I think because of the history, I think the way the two styles match up, I'm curious to see because White has a way of getting in Joshua's head. He gets him riled up. Maybe Joshua will be more aggressive than he has been in the last couple of fights, and we could get a shootout.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I wish it was a different fight, but, you know. Let's go back to the phone. 757, quickly, 757, Virginia, you're live.
Yeah. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, hey. So I want to talk about the Josh Taylor fight. I mean, not the Josh Taylor fight, but the Jared Chrysler fight. It was a good fight, you know what I mean? Like I said before, like every prospect, top level fighter who top competition, they're entitled to a tough fight. You know what I mean? Like when Tyson Fury was positioned, he got dropped by Steve Cunningham. I didn't hear all of the energy about him.
All right, we're sorry. We're going to have to cut you off because your phone is going in and out. Let's go to 708 Illinois. You're live.
Hey, what's up, Joe and Eric? It's me, Callie, from Chicago.
Hey,
what's up, man? How you doing, brother?
Well, today was a hilarious show, man. Hearing somebody call you trans, they...
Welcome to my every day, you know. I tell you what.
That's a human resources issue, but go ahead.
When I first started watching, I didn't understand why you guys were so mean to Robert. But today I truly understand. Saying little Charlo ducking Tim says, come on, man. But he has the right to feel any way about who has the right to feel any way about somebody ducking him. But come on, he's just crying. And last night, the Jared Anderson performance, to me, a homecoming performance, but it was a bad performance. The way he was out, he wasn't out on his, but he was a little out on his feet in the fifth round. It just wasn't, to me, it wasn't a good look. And also, him and Roy Jones crying in the beginning, that was just, I just don't agree with ESPN put him out there like that with that crying stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I think he'll regret that.
But. My last question really is to you, Beeb. I don't know if you saw the intro to when Jared Anderson came in, but how would you rate the rapping in the beginning of that for the walk-in?
I'd give it probably a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. It's all right.
Oh. I thought you could have done a better job, to be honest.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm very well seasoned. I mean, I can't expect everyone to be on my level.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, let's face it. If it was in the bottle, everybody would be drinking it, you know?
I mean, I've been in many ciphers in my day. I mean, I can't expect those, you know, can't expect regular people to be on my level. I've battled with the best of them back in the day.
All right, man. You too. Take it easy. All right. And that will do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week. Have a safe 4th of July. Also, before you go, we will be back next week, I believe, at 11 a.m. Just stay posted. Say subscribe to the channel so you know what time we're coming on. But maybe a early one next week. But we'll be on, so don't worry about it. Guys, be careful 4th of July, all right? Don't do anything stupid. All right. Have a good one.